So as Pfizer release a new vaccine, we discuss whether the podcast has become immune to red arrows as we all get 70 point plus weeks. On the podcast, we discuss whether Harry Maguire would make a good prime minister and why on earth Sam recommended Ademola Lookman be his differential pick for the week. All coming up on Midnight FPL. So I am joined by Sam and Joel. Sam, do you want to say hi to everyone?
Hi, everyone. Hope the weekend went well for you.
Oh, that's lovely. Joel?
Hey, everyone. Hope you're having a good Monday evening.
Nice. You mixed it up from his. So Sam, how was the game week for you?
Well, it was really good on paper. I got 79 points. I got full clean sheets from goalkeepers and defenders. I brought in Hakim Ziyech, which obviously I'm delighted about, instead of Grealish or Zaha. And I captained Kane, who got 9 points, so 18 points, and also had Salah. So all but two of my players scored over 4 points.
Do you want to go into some depth on one of those two players, Sam, and what happened?
Well, I think we'll come to that later. It's what I mean, on paper, I had a good week, but for a number of reasons, it's very, very bittersweet. But I think I'll be grilled about that later. So let's not try and rub it in then, Louis.
Joel, what went well?
Yeah, pretty good week for me as well. I got 70 points, 4 clean sheets in my defence. Salah always just consistently scoring pens, and Kane captain as well. I think 15 points over the average, but in our mini leagues, it's still not been good enough for me to catch up on anyone. So, I think I need to get a few more differentials in my team if I want to climb the tables a bit more. But pretty positive going forward, to be honest.
Yeah, you got 70 points than you. I got 77, which I was well chuffed with. Defence was really good for once. Chilwell, 8. Kufal, who I bought in this week, 8. Lamperty, 6. Martinez as well at the end with a clean sheet I wasn't expecting. And then Werner, Kane, Calvert-Lewin, Zaha, Salah all delivering, so that's all bar 2 blanks. So really happy with that. Probably the thing I'm a bit annoyed about is just abandoning a rationale, because I thought I'd bring in Zaha over Grealish, but I've got the money in the bank to go Podence to Grealish next week. But that was silly because Zaha's nowhere near as good as Grealish.
I think it'd be good having both of them, to be fair. You know, if Zaha's still on pens, then he'll be able to grab a couple here and there. But
he's not though, because Milivojevic is only banned for one game.
Oh, it was only one game. Okay.
I really wanted him to go big against Leeds.
Milivojevic didn't start the first few games of the season, though. So he may not be starting going forward. It was McCarthy and MacArthur, I think, next to each other. And then now Riederwald as well. Yeah.
Especially after they battered Leeds. But yeah, all in all, a very good week.
It's funny how we've all managed to have good weeks, really. I was kind of, whatever I do doesn't seem to make much of a difference in the overall rankings. Everyone in our mini league, everyone seems to be doing consistently well. But I don't even think I've
got it wrong as well.
I don't think our teams are even that similar either.
Well, we've got the base players like Kane, Son, Calvert-Lewin. But just like, I mean, who were Newcastle playing?
Southampton.
Oh, Southampton. I mean, Joel, to put a Newcastle player in defence, in your defence against Southampton.
It's because I had Foden and he didn't play, so Lewis came in. But Lewis needs to go. I'm so fed up with him.
He's actually quite good, Lewis, though, when you watch Newcastle. He's like,
he's had a few decent chances as well, to be fair, but his price has fallen from 4.5 to 4.3, and like Newcastle can park the bus, so there's like a chance that he could get some points, but he's just not doing enough for me. And even when Newcastle do park the bus, I don't think they'd never last in 90 minutes. So the chance of him getting clean sheets is pretty unlikely. So I'm thinking about taking him out at some point, but I don't want to waste a transfer anytime soon. We're gonna have.
You bought Foden in last week, didn't you? And he's got 1-0.
You've brought Foden in last week and you didn't put.
No, the week before.
He automatically
subbed off.
Oh no, I did bring him in game week 7. Yeah, I brought him in. Because but I had why, De Bruyne.
Why though? Like, he hasn't been starting.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because he came off the bench and scored against West Ham. You'd think Pep would start him, Sam. I actually defend Joel here. I think the fucking... No, but when you think about who's in the...
If you think about who's in that midfield, you've got Rodri and De Bruyne, who are immovable. And then he's got to choose between Bernardo Silva, Gundogan and Foden. So even if he does choose Foden, he's not going to stay every game or even regularly.
But the point is he's 6.5 and he's in a team that's so good. So if he does play, he plays like a 13 midfielder. It's just the risk you've got to take with
but
Foden.
You can,
like,
you can
in
have
Project
like,
Restart, Foden would got like so many points.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But at the same time, I just cannot stomach using a player who I don't think is going to start even half of the time. But for example, you can have Soucek at 4.9. He scores goals. You know what I mean?
But I think you've got to have some City players in though, because like, granted, City have got some tough fixtures coming on. But like, if he had De Bruyne, and if De Bruyne scored that penalty, he would have had a massive haul this week. But the thing is, I don't think De Bruyne's going to start against... They've got Burnley and Fulham coming up. I don't think Pep's going to start De Bruyne against them. I think Foden might play in them.
He'll definitely play him at least one. I mean, why wouldn't he? They're in a good position in the Champions League group. I mean,
they're miles behind also in the title race. They can't afford to be complacent.
And they've got a piss easy Champions League group. So he'll rotate him in the Champions League. He's going to rotate him, I reckon.
I hate the idea of not having a City player because I think they're a good enough team that you have to have cover in. But,
yeah,
I
but
just
having a City player who doesn't play cover. Isn't that cover.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But it's only a 6.5. So it's not like it's not like having De Bruyne and having an 11.5 wasted because of Pep's stupid rotation. So
that's the point
know.
I was going to make. Is that like the template's about to change massively because everyone's got this kind of like same team with, as you said, Sam, a core around Son, Kane and Calvert-Lewin. But when City's fixtures swing and Tottenham's get worse, the whole thing, I think that's when you're going to see big swings in points because what City asset you go for, do you drop Son or Kane, that will really change up. Should make it relatively more exciting, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, like, no one even has much City players, so it's probably not the end of... It's not
many
the end
City
of the
players.
Whatever, it's not the end of the world not having City players because they're not a high percentage pick.
It will be.
So I don't know whether to sack off Foden and then Foden for Ziyech or something. So I don't know, but it's a waste of time having Foden if he's not going to start, and then I get Lewis coming off my bench for one. So
yeah, it's looking ropey there, Joel. Really is.
But I think it's only two transfers away from being good. I've also got 5 points something in my bank as well. I don't know why.
Do you have the stones to take that -4 though?
I don't know. I said to myself after the other week, I said I'd never do a -4 again.
I'm joking. He's acting like he's going to jump out of a plane, taking a -4.
But literally, every time I do a -4, it goes wrong. Every single time.
If you're getting rid of Neto and Foden, it's not like they're suddenly going to get like 30 points. Like,
I don't know, Choss. I don't know.
All right, so part two. If anyone listened last week, if you were one of our wars, it's Sam, 80 listeners, you'll have listened to us give our differential picks for next week. So three players whose ownership had to add up to 10%. Got a bit feisty. Sam in particular was really vocal and critical of both mine and Joel's picks. So with arrogance surely comes success. Sam, did it come success?
I had Anthony Martial at striker and he looked absolutely awful on the weekend. He barely moved and I quickly realised it was a terrible decision. And I have to take ownership of that. Then, of course, we get to Ademola Lookman, and I was sat there thinking, right, it's not going to get worse than Martial. The worst I could get here is another two. I'm on four and I've just got to rely on Tomato. Of course it got even worse, and but I would point out actually, because I was thinking this at the time, that if he had scored that penalty and not acted like a total dickhead, it would have been an unbelievable pick. £5 million, 0.5% of people select him. It's a penalty take. It's on penalties.
If my auntie had a dick, he'd be my uncle Sam. It's irrelevant. He got 0 points.
Literally, like you didn't need to be a goalkeeper. You just needed to be an object that was there to save that. It really was, and it was obviously, as I'm a Fulham fan, it almost felt like Mandzukic's goal against England in the World Cup. It was just, everything was just so important. It could have been like fancy points. It could have been Fulham
the double
getting
whammy.
That point. Lookman taking it, it was just amazing. But obviously 0 points, and we move on. So it came
down
to
Sam, quick question. Yeah. And I was wondering this. Whose penalty was worse, Kevin De Bruyne's or Adama Lookman's? Because I'm going to argue for Kevin De Bruyne's.
No. I mean, I think to take a penalty the way Adama Lookman did in the 98th minute raises some serious questions about the size of your inflated ego. And just on that basis, it is so much worse. At least Kevin De Bruyne put his foot through it. And actually, you can see there was effort and there wasn't, you know, I just can't wait to be on the front page of the news tomorrow morning of me chipping it in, thinking I'm Andrea Pirlo. You're nothing. You're Adamola Lookman. You play for Fulham.
I really like Lookman. I think he looks really good. And also, like, Adamola Lookman has never taken a senior penalty. Why on earth, when you've got, like, Mitrovic and Kearney on the pitch, did they decide in the 98th minute to go and put him on a pen? That's stupid enough. De Bruyne has got, like, one of the most talented players in the world. And he's literally taken that penalty exactly how like a 7-year-old who's probably never kicked a ball, the way he like dragged it off, like it literally missed by so much. I was so baffled.
Okay, you never see Pez miss the goal these days.
Yeah, usually without hitting the post. That was bad.
Yeah.
I honestly think the way to answer this question is if you imagine if this was Chelsea and Jorginho either does that chip that Lookman did or smashed it wide at De Bruyne, which one would infuriate you more?
The
chip would infuriate me more.
If Jorginho tried to pen that crit down the middle, he would be like, he'd be dead to us. He would never.
You already hate Jorginho enough.
if the chip went in though, we'd be like, oh, well done, bollocks on him. Whereas, like, there's nothing to like about De Bruyne's penalty. He's just tried to take a proper normal penalty and dragged it wide, like.
Louis, okay. I think you've just got to rewatch Lookman's penalty.
Yeah, mate, it's so bad.
So far we've got 2-0. So I'm guessing this last one's gonna come and bail you out. Is it Nelson Semedo?
Yeah. Funnily enough, it didn't bail me out. that was another shocker because after 16 minutes, I looked down at my Sky Sports app and Jamie Vardy had scored a penalty to take away my last chance of not losing this challenge. So. I guess I'm at the mercy of whoever decides what the forfeit is.
I thought we had Semedo in for his attacking returns as well, though, Sam.
That was a consideration, but obviously it helps when they get a clean sheet. they were playing Leicester, so I can't really sit here and tell you that I expected to get a clean sheet either. So a lot of L's all around for me, and I completely take responsibility. I can't really sit here and criticise anyone for the rest of the podcast.
Don't spoil it for our listeners, though. We haven't revealed what we all got. We could have got less than 4.
If Lookman had scored that penalty, Sam, you would have been an absolute genius. You were literally like...
Yeah, this is what I was saying. If it wasn't for Lookman being... I mean, it's just too... the words I have are just too obscene for this podcast. But if it wasn't for that... I mean...
You weren't following.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I mean, it's just better if I don't comment. I prefer not to speak.
Joel, your differential picks. It's me versus you now for the crown.
So start with defence. I went for Patrick Van Aanholt, which you all slated. And you were like, he's rubbish. Why would you bring in a 5.5 defender? Blah, blah, blah. But against Leeds, granted, didn't get the clean sheet. But I said in the last week, I had him in my team for his attacking turns, and he got me a clean. He got me an assist. So, did exactly what I said, exactly what I asked of him. 5 points in the bag, pretty good. And I think there are a few chances in that game he created as well. So I think Patrick Van Aanholt was a great shout from me. So pretty happy with that one.
Yeah, I'll have a slice of humble pie for that because he actually does look like a good option. He plays really far up the pitch. Palace, which I wasn't expecting because they're quite negative, even though he's done it in previous seasons. I went for Kufal, who I actually bought into my real team because I take my picks seriously, and I went and he got 8 points because he was saved by a Sam Lookman penalty because his clean sheet was about to be wiped out while he was on for three bonus, which would have been gutting. But he, Sam, you watched the game. He was playing, like, they were attacking purely through that right side at the end. He whipped in about five crosses towards the end. He looks like a good pick going forward.
I mean, I did notice that, but again, I think I said it last week, Haller is the player that is up there receiving those crosses, and Haller is so bad. Like,
yeah, he is really bad.
Haller is not going to score a goal. To be fair, he does play on Bowen's side, and Bowen looked bright. So, but I was going to say, actually, coming into this podcast, I looked at your team, I thought, not only was it a good pick, but I commend you for sticking to your guns and actually going with what you said. Because personally, when I said Lookman, I think I sent you a message about it. When I was actually changing my team, I was like, oh, I said Lookman, but I actually want him. I thought, I can't lack so much integrity that I literally lie to our listeners. Tell him to bring him in for content and then not actually bring him in and mug him all off when he misses a penalty. But yeah, I ended up bringing him in. I commend you for bringing Kufar. Well played.
But this is the thing, is like, it hinges on such fine margins. You know, like, if Lookman scored the pen, Sam would be, the roles would be reversed. Sam would be doing well, and Lou would be sitting on Kufar with 2 points. You know, like, it's such fine margins.
If Lookman had scored that penalty, I still would have had more points than Louis this week. So.
That's all that really matters, to be fair.
But you wouldn't have lost a differential game, and you won't have to be something horrible.
Yeah, it's gutting.
All right, I'll do my midfielder. My midfield pick was Hakim Ziyech. I think I said on the podcast a wonder of a left foot, which was then repeated by Graham Souness. So I'm a bit of a visionary in that respect. But I mean, he was. I am now almost annoyed at how well he played, because I have three Chelsea players. I can't get him in feasibly, and because they're Werner and two defenders, and he was incredible. It looked like he was going to do something every time he touched the ball.
Yeah, he was unreal. Like, as a Chelsea fan, you can just only be excited about him. Like, it's mad. Like, every ball, I've never seen someone deliver such consistently good balls into the box every single time. So good. I'm annoyed to bring him in. I want him in my team.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game and I have him in my team, so I was pretty excited. But at the same time, I think you've got a similar problem to West Ham. Not as bad, because obviously you've got some good attackers. But in terms of balls being whipped in, unless you've got a corner or a free kick, can you really see Werner regularly getting on the end of them, like some sort of poacher? Even Abraham, he scores goals, but he's not exactly a Giroud. I feel like a Giroud would be ideal to have up there with Ziyech on the wing.
But it's not even like big crosses. If he gets past the defender and can whip the ball in,
yeah,
round back,
so true.
All he needs is like a toe in.
Yeah,
doesn't matter
how. I tell you,
doesn't matter how tall he is.
All right, so who was your midfielder, John?
So I went for Gareth Bale, also another pick that closely slated. Surprisingly, he did actually start. I didn't actually think he would, but
Joel. I know. I have no place to. Sort of start taking the piss out of other people given what happened to me. But I'm sorry, you can't pick someone expecting them not to start. Like,
no, you, I don't know. He got his goal, so I thought he was in for a chance of starting, and as it turned out, I was actually right.
But, yeah, mate, you were so right. 3 points against
West. But West Brom turned up tougher opposition than we all thought. Like, Bale got the same points as Son, you know, like, whatever, it doesn't ring that much. But yeah, Bale didn't do what I quite had planned that he would. But yeah, Gareth Bale, not one to have in your team. I don't back him. He's still far off from being the Gareth Bale that we kind of have in our minds. So
you had it
not a great shout from me, but not the worst.
You got three more points than Lookman.
Yeah, this is true. So
you've got three more points than someone who missed a penalty. Well done, Joel.
Yeah,
fair, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm taking the piss out of you. I'm so awful.
But you went for a 5.0 Lookman. He went for a 9. Like, if you I don't know. I feel like it defeats the point of the game if you go from really expensive players.
I mean,
Louis
used the word last week. It is absolutely absurd, the idea of bringing in Gareth Bale. Who would you take out? Son, like you said. I mean, who would you... Joel. Who would you take out? Come on. Son. Because you were thinking about taking out Son, to be fair. Would you just up sticks and bring in Bale?
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, should we move on from Gareth Bale, because he was a stupid choice.
Okay, all right.
We don't have to dwell on my stupid ideas, because I'm sure we have plenty of those as these podcasts go on.
I'm literally okay, not so going to edit that out.
So that means that I'm on 8 plus 11, 8, 19.
Oh yeah, I forgot who my last pick was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's actually quite tight.
Oh, so it's actually really tight. Yeah, Matt.
So okay. I actually don't know who won. So I got 19, and then I get Neil Maupay, who blanks against Burnley. So I'm on 21.
How much did Ollie Watkins, is it? Is it Watkins?
Matt Wilkins. You've done it again.
I don't know. I haven't. It's Ollie Watkins. I know it's Ollie Watkins. My guy, Ollie Watkins. Yeah, Ollie Watkins is insane. What a inspired choice for me. He got 13 points. So, 13 plus 5.
Yeah, you win.
Did I win? Yes! Yeah, all you guys were like, nah, no chance. You're never going to win. Van Aanholt.
It's by the fairest of margins. It's 21 versus 20, I think.
I wish all the listeners could just see the smile on Joel's face right now.
Oh, no. Wait.
Pure ecstasy.
Wait. No, but I don't think it could be premature ecstasy. I'm 11, Ziyech, 8, Kufau, 19, Maupay, 21.
So I'm 13, 5, 18. 3, 21.
21, it's a dead tie.
damn it.
How are we going to set it?
Oh, no, we're just both winners.
Yeah.
There's just one clearly defined loser sat on 4 points.
Yeah.
God, it's a shocker, isn't it? It's an absolute shocker.
We actually both did really well, to be fair.
Yeah, we did really well. If people actually listened to this podcast, they could have had some great weeks for themselves.
Yeah, my girlfriend, who doesn't have a team, and my mum and dad are the only ones who have heard that.
Yeah, no one I told to listen to the podcast listens to it, because they all think I'm so bad at fantasy football, I can't possibly have any good advice to offer. But
yeah, I don't think you should be our main endorser.
Yeah, no.
All right. So that's enough for part two. Join us for some politician chat. Moving on to part three. Last week we were inspired by England. This week we're inspired by Joe Biden. We're going to be discussing in the Salah and Ireland challenge. For those who didn't listen last week, Salah, 12.5, the best at the category. So last week it would be at rugby for fantasy players. And then Nyland, the bench fodder, is the worst. This week we're going to do who would be the best president or prime minister. I'll kick us off by saying, we discussed them last week, I wouldn't want Aleksandar Mitrovic anywhere near the nuclear button. Sam, any thoughts on that?
There's going to be a lot of dispute here about that, because I watched on YouTube the other night at about 1 a.m. Aleksandar Mitrovic's interview with, I don't know who, maybe Sky Sports, but I don't think so. And he actually looked like a really nice guy. I was really quite disappointed with him the last few performances. I think he didn't really try his best, so I've been absolutely slating him. But I gave him a break yesterday, having watched this interview. Just seems like a genuinely nice bloke, if I'm honest. So I would actually put him forward to be a president.
Do you want a genuinely nice bloke running for president?
Well, what else is Joe Biden other than a genuinely nice bloke?
Mitrovic is a 23-year-old psychopath, and I don't want him.
Is he only
23? Is that just because he's got a tattoo on his neck? Because I actually
no, it's because he fights everyone he plays with, and got like 3 red cards in his first 3 games for Newcastle. Or something ridiculous.
He's a changed man. You've got to allow people to change. No, he isn't.
I watched the game against West Ham. He looked like he was going to fucking nut Ogbonna for like the whole of the second half.
Yeah, but Ogbonna was fouling him off a ball, so you can't blame it. Anyway, Louis, I've seen you on a football pitch. You love a nibble.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that I should be president based off that. I'm a twat on the pitch.
You're like Alexander Mitrovic, but just smaller.
He doesn't play anymore, but Diego Costa would be an awful chap. Mitrovic is 26, not 23.
Yeah, 23, I was going to say. Mitrovic looks like he's 45, doesn't it? Like he can't be...
26 is still quite young.
Yeah, true, to be fair. He still looks old.
Yeah, Mitrovic is still young.
Who do we want as president?
He doesn't play in the Premier League anymore. But just a little shout for him. VK, Vincent Kompany, the one and only.
Yeah, good shout.
Definitely president material. Having watched All or Nothing Manchester City as well.
His voice is so soothing.
Yes.
Do you know who I wouldn't want giving that speech? Harry Kane, based off All or Nothing.
Oh, I was about to say it as well. Come on, boys, we can do this!
No, you don't want Harry Kane anywhere near that. Everyone, no one would listen to his speeches if he came out and did like a update. Everyone would kind of turn it off.
As opposed to Boris, where we're all gathered around in it.
Yeah. You know who I think is a Boris equivalent in the Premier League? Is Harry Maguire. He's such a kind of like buffoon, like this kind of like, he's like in charge of like the biggest club country in the world, yet no one takes him seriously. He's
just the UK kind of isn't like, the biggest country in the world, just to say.
Well, one of whatever.
It's not that big, Joe. It's quite a small one. Literally, it's quite a small country, honestly.
On a political scale, I'd say powerful. Where United stand as a club is quite similar to where the UK is, if that makes sense. But anyway, I just think
United are always announcing they're the biggest club in the world, and they're just not. They haven't won anything for like how many years? You just can't call yourself the biggest club in the world when you routinely come like sixth in the Prem.
But he said this. He said this like after the game. He's like, "Oh, everyone wants us to do badly because like they're jealous of us." And it's like, no, you're just rubbish, and your manager's rubbish. Like they're just a joke.
The arrogance for Harry Maguire to genuinely sit there and think that he's a centre back of what he calls like one of the best clubs in the world. Like he is the centre back.
But that's how I perceive England. That's how I think England are perceived by other countries. We think we're better than we actually are. And
yeah, that's fair.
They're not actually any good. You've got Boris Johnson and Harry Maguire. I think they're actually like weirdly similar.
That's a really good shout, actually.
Also, the Greek policeman incident is quite, you can imagine.
Yeah.
imagine Boris Johnson doing that.
Yeah.
It's the way he tries to like sell them off as well.
Yeah. I think Harry Maguire would be awful. His relationships with the Europeans wouldn't be very good after his bribes and his brawls in the streets. So, I think
Do you not think this says a lot about Man United that they have chosen as their club captain someone who we're actually sitting here saying would be the worst idea of a statesman or a president, and that's Man United's club captain. Like you'd rather have Aaron Ramsey-Saka.
Yeah, but
I'd make Bruno Fernandes captain if I was United.
But surely Marcus Rashford. Come on, if we're talking about United,
he's already prime minister, basically.
Yeah, well, exactly. He's running. He's calling the shots. Literally, Boris Johnson the other day did a U-turn with the kind of child food poverty funding. Again, for the second time. So, if we're talking of candidates, it's got to be Marcus Rashford. Like the whole nation has his backing. He's definitely one to be considered for sure. For sure.
Yeah, he's 12.4 for me.
He's everyone loves him, Marcus. He's 12.4 for sure. Everyone loves him. Everyone loves him. He's great.
I'm trying to think if he's the most temperamental footballer in the league. If it's not. He's the new Costa. Sam's not accepting Mitrovic. Who would be the worst at diplomacy?
I mean, I hate to say it again, because we mentioned him last week, and he keeps being the Nylund of the categories. I think Riyad Mahrez would be pretty awful.
He could be Algerian president. Have you seen the Man City Facebook comments? They're like, every single one is like, why, you know, start Mahrez, Pep, and just like, just on repeat, just like loads of propaganda. Why would Mahrez be bad?
When he's in press conferences, he just doesn't really just speak with much Mahrez conviction, you know? He's no Obama. That's all I'm trying to say. I know he plays on the right wing for Man City, so you can't really expect him to be. But he's just no Obama.
Yeah, but Noel's like Phil Bardsley. Like, we've got to compare everyone.
Why do you keep bringing up Phil Bardsley?
I'm just obsessed.
I got a shout for a bad kind of politician. It's someone like Richarlison. Imagine just them being just like, he looks like he doesn't want to be there. He's so kind of like arrogant.
Yeah.
Jordan Pickford.
Jordan
Pickford. If the way he behaves is anything like the way he plays, he'd be the most irrational president.
Just be getting his scraps like left, right, and centre, like two-footing like Angela Merkel and all that kind of.
He should have got a red card.
Arriving at the UN. Yeah. Off the ball incident with Angela Merkel.
Did you see his kick on Maguire? He did the exact same thing.
Yeah, mate. Should have been another penny. He's such a mug. He's actually a joke. You know who I think I've quite a good shout would be? Azpilicueta. I could quite back him as having.
Yeah, back him.
100%.
He'd be like quite a solid shout.
Can I make final suggestion for the Nylund? Tom Kearney.
You would love a photo shoot, though.
Tom Kearney. Oh, yeah, to be fair, next to that American fag, getting that pout.
Giving Lookman that penalty is, like, the equivalent of, I don't know, giving, like, some tiny backbencher, like, the biggest decision of, like...
Yeah, fingers. I was about to say. Yeah, it is a bit like Boris Johnson just giving up on what to do with coronavirus and just asking Rees-Mogg to decide. Out of nowhere.
Mm. Lookman and Rees-Mogg. Comparison you didn't expect to hear. All right, I think that is all we have got time for today. Nobody won our competition this week as Bruno Fernandes came king of the game week. So we still have an England shirt to give away. So stay tuned to @midnightFPL to find out what our competition is going to be this week and how you can win yourself an England shirt. Thanks for listening.